try to make a change, you don't come back the same from such a foreign place. Never return with our freedom earned. We'll be long, long gone before our tour is done. It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right, it's okay.
It's all right, it's okay.
It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right.
We dream of peace and light. I'll find you there, my friends, when my own time ends. It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right, it's okay.
It's all right, it's okay.
It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right, it's okay. But I still hear your words. Carry on in song.
Carry on in song.
Carry on in song.
Carry on in song.
Carry on in song. It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right, it's okay.
It's all right, it's okay.
It's all right, it's all right.
Tim Clayton Braley and Hannah Farley. Look for them at Old World Warblers at Bandcamp or Facebook. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our pleasure to have you here today. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. This Saturday, Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM, Grove City, WCUC FM, Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio. .org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org.
Walk right in, sit right down, baby, let your mind roll on. Walk right in, stay a little while. Daddy, don't just stay too long. Everybody's talking about the way you're walking. Do you want to do it or not? Hey, walk in, sit down. Daddy, let your hair hang down. Walk in, sit down. Baby, let your stay too long. Everybody's talking about the way you're walking. Do you wanna lose your mind? Walk in, sit right down. Baby, let your hair hang down. can go on. Walk in, sit right down. Daddy, let your hair hang down. Oh, walk in, stay a little while. Baby, don't you stay too long. Everybody's talking about the new way of walking, baby. Do you wanna do it or not? Walk in, sit down, baby. Let your mind roll on. The new way of walking, baby. Do you want to lose your mind? Your mind. Or walk in, sit right down, baby. Let your hair hang down. Walk in, sit down. Don't you want to come over here and sit down? Walk in.
Light Brigade, that's Gloria Rain with Walk Right In.
Come on over here and sit down, sit down, sit down. Walk in and sit right down.
Thank you, Uncle Gus. We love you.
Well, we are pleased to have a very special guest joining us in a few moments. A poet, a columnist, and an advocate. And he has been honored nationally. Born and raised in Newcastle. His name is Demarion Martin. And you'll get a chance to meet him and learn more about him in just a few moments.
Prime Stage Theater joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade, the world premiere of the Prime Stage Theater production of Mr. Edgar Allan Poe Presents Tales of Mystery, Horror, and Imagination takes place at the New Hazlett Theater in Pittsburgh's Northside from November 7th through 16th as part of its 29th season. More details are available at primestage.com.
Teens interested in podcasting, writing, music, journalism, or other forms of self-expression are invited to join us for a wide range of SLB Youth Media Center programs. Activities include workshops on writing and audio recording, as well as weekly open mics and open studio hours on Mondays through Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Activities are free to area teens. Visit ymc.slbradio.org for details.
A quick thank you. If you have left a review of SLB Radio at the greatnonprofits.org site, I think we're down to just needing about three more to reach our top-rated nonprofit status once again for 2025. If you enjoy the radio program or our passion for amplifying underheard voices through our Youth Media Center, radio, and other programs, we hope you'll take a moment and review SLB at greatnonprofits.org. Unlike past years, the folks at Great Nonprofits now require reviewers to quickly establish a username and password just to keep the site from having stuffed ballot boxes, so to speak. But I spoke with them personally last week. Their privacy policy keeps all of that information strictly internal and just for validation. Pianist Josh Paxton there. I began to tell you about him a little bit earlier. Now let me bring his voice into the picture. Meet Demarion Martin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us. Now, I've heard a lot about you. You're a senior at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School. But I also know your writing has been honored nationally, which has to make you feel wonderful to know that your voice has been acknowledged and heard by others, and especially respected. Tell me a bit about your journey with writing. How is it that you started, and when did you realize your passion?
Yeah, so I started writing about, I would say, 5 years ago. And I was just doing writing in my hometown school, Newcastle. It started off pretty slow. We had an essay contest at my school, and I did my essay on a historical black figure. And I never thought that I would be able to win or maybe, like, get the respect to, like, be in first place. But slowly and slowly through the years, I clawed my way up to first place, and that's when my passion started, I would say. And then after that, a friend came into my class during fourth period, and he was telling me about Lincoln Park. And then I made a shot in the dark. I applied to Lincoln Park, and ever since then, I've just been writing. I have also participated in, like, the AXO program, which is through the NAACP. And I've done every competition I've been able to. I've done just everything to get my voice out there, help other people.
I remember I won a statewide writing contest. I was probably in 10th grade. And I'll never forget that feeling when my name was announced. I sure didn't think I had any chance of doing that. Do you remember the way it made you feel when you got a major acknowledgement?
Yeah, for the first time, I would say it was really, I felt really full. It takes a lot of time to understand that as a youth writer, that your voice matters, no matter what background you come from, no matter what economic status you're in. I just was so full. I was so grateful. And I'm religious, so I give all things to God as well. And I just, in the moment, when I heard about my National Student Poet selection, I just didn't know what to say. I was at a loss for words, honestly. I think that, like, in the moment, I froze up a little bit, because the process takes around, like a few months. I would say, like, 8 months it took. And when they told me over Zoom, I just, like, froze up, and I was like, this can't be true. But it just feels like so, it feels like all your work has finally paid off after so long, and that's really important.
Now, you also write prose. I know you work for your student newspaper, the Black Student Union. You're involved there. You're involved in a lot of things. But poetry is a passion for you, especially, it seems like.
Yeah.
Why poetry, not just for you, but in general? Why do you think poetry matters?
Yeah, so for me, poetry matters a lot because I feel like it's the best way to speak to the soul. There's so many different art mediums out there, but poetry is so accessible. Any type of writing is accessible. All you need is a pen, a pencil, and paper, and you can literally make anything come true. You can imagine a world that you never knew you could before, and I think that's why poetry for me has been so close to, like, who I am, because when I was younger, I was never, like, really into arts. I was in sports. I played baseball. I played football a little bit. I wasn't the best at it, but I played that for a little bit. And I never felt like it was my calling. But when I picked up a pen and when I picked up a piece of paper and started to write and put my feelings on the paper about how I felt about different issues impacting the world and impacting me, I feel like that was home.
Well, you brought some poems with you today. Three, in fact. And if you're ready, I'd love to have you share one, and then we can talk on the other side of it. Damarion Martin is here, a poet, columnist, and advocate for Black voices. He's from Newcastle. His grandma is here, too, who he described as my best friend,
yes.
Which you couldn't ask for a better relationship than that. Do you need to tell us anything about the poem before you share it?
This is a poem I wrote about 2 months ago, I would say, after certain events surrounding America had unfolded. It's called Red, White, and Blue, and I hope you enjoy it. Ask Uncle Sam what to shoot me with, and he'll tell you a .40 caliber, so the gun's bullet could run through the silence on my split tongue and sing American anthems cascading along the tip of waving flags in my neighbor's backyard. Running circles around democracy, where your next president, or should I say king, is eating lobster bisque with one hand and telling women they deserve to die with the other. And fat men in suits will call it a divine intervention, a pig slaughter, an offering to God so the poor won't have to eat. And the baby's stomachs will never be hollow because we stuffed their bellies with slogans and enough propaganda to incite riots across the country and scorch cities to the ground. So people could say that just had nothing to do with ICE and that we should look away from the man killing your kids as they get done with an active shooter drill. And the letters of the Ten Commandments will hang around their necks like a noose made to hang Black men in upstate New York. A modern day lynching. So news channels could tell you he was never even meant to be here, just like how Obama's middle name is Hussein, so he was born a terrorist. This is what I call patriotism. An eagle with wings long enough to soar down the throats of white men and quick enough for them to regurgitate the Constitution in one fell swoop. So I could remember I'm 3/5 man and 2/5 slave again. And don't actually ask if I could be lined up, so my head can be the target of another firing squad looking to hit quota. You probably wanted to, though, so you could go home and think about how easy it was to do it and understand that all you had to say was I was being aggressive. a jigaboo who was violent enough to make you feel unsafe, so you could have the right to shoot me 100 times with no remorse, then call it liberty. And my body will shed red, white, and then blue, because x-rays will show you my blood is the same color as yours, even in black and white. Then you'll dream of me being less of an American and more African, so you could fill my lungs with zinc and tie my tongue back up and tell me to speak up again in my own language. Thank you.
Wow. Not only was that extremely well written and spoken, but that's very courageous to write what you wrote. And I suspect that is it easy for you to speak your mind, or is it a challenge? I was going to say I suspect it's easy, but actually I don't have a presumption. I would rather ask you about that.
At times like this, I feel like speaking up can feel very challenging. Very often, even in my own class, I have a poetry workshop that I go through day to day in my classes, and I put pieces like this in there because I know that the public or other people or maybe adults, other kids my age, may not take this lightly, and that's what I want. I don't want them to take it lightly because these aren't light issues, but you have to understand that no matter what, you're going to go through difficulties with writing and how you present your writing to the public. Everybody isn't going to always like it and always receive it well. And I think that's kind of what you have to understand as a creative. Your medium or however you choose to present your art isn't always going to be appreciated as it should be. But you have to learn how to persist and fight for yourself no matter what.
Damarion Martin is 17. About to turn 18 very soon. And when you consider, you know, this is, we talk about this sometimes off the air. Every individual's truth is undeniably true. It's your assessment of the situation. And I think it's critical. Whether folks necessarily agree or disagree when it ends up becoming something more political in nature, the most important part of it is this is the lens that you are being provided with, and it's a true, authentic lens. This is a human being raised in Newcastle, not far away from here, sharing his writing. It's a really good piece. Do you get up to perform in slams? This kind of setting's a little different. Some poets prefer simply to write for the page. What about you?
For me, I wouldn't really call myself a slam poet. I am one of those people that write for the page. I do like to perform, though, and I do like to get my pieces out there and spoken. That's a big part of my poems, is how you speak them. I think that there's something just very intimate and very surreal about speaking it. And that's a big part of the written word to me, is actually how you speak it and not just what's on the page. But AXO, another program that I'm in, I was talking about this a little bit before, but I usually apply or compete in that program for poetry written.
Yeah, I'm curious, AXO is an NAACP program. Is that
yes.
an acronym?
Yes. It stands for the Afro-Cultural, Technological, and Scientific Olympics.
Now I know why it's called AXO.
Yeah.
So, but it is a coordinated, competitive program. And what can you break it down as to what you do to take part in it?
Yes. So you could sign up through your local, some local NAACP branches do it. I do it through the Coriopolis NAACP branch. And through that, you compete regionally in around, I would say, like early spring. Once you do that, you could get a bronze, silver, or gold medal. Gold medalists are able to go to nationals. And through nationals, you're able to win bronze, silver, and gold again. Last year, or this year actually, I was able to receive a silver medal nationally in poetry written and a gold medal in original essay through the NAACP.
Congratulations. That's a huge honor. And I know Scholastic Arts and Writing Awards, you've been honored there as well. Have you thought about what you want to do after you graduate?
Yes, I actually have. So I'm planning on going to Morehouse in Atlanta. It's an HBCU. I'm going to major, hopefully, in communications with a minor in pre-med. And I'm just really excited. I always wanted to keep that writing part of me innate to, like, my journey and where I go as a person. I'm never going to stop being a poet. I plan to continue to write. And hopefully when I turn 21, I could do different workshops and stuff like that and hopefully come out with a book. So I'll be looking forward toward for that. And yeah, I just hope to always be somebody that could give back to my community no matter where I go. So I'm going to carry this with me always.
Well, speaking of carrying, let's have you carry another work to the airwaves. What would you like to do next?
I'll be reading a poem called Dat Fig Tree. I had been dreaming of entering into a meadow, shallow-footed, at the calling of dawn, my brown skin glistening, reflecting off the tiny dewdrops hanging on the fresh blades of grass my father had cut the past week. Then my arms buckle tenderly. The dry heat burns me a tint of orange. Sweat drips off, slowly, before I reach my hand out. And something reaches back with knotted fingers, blackened, coarse, a tree. With figs left too long in the mouth of summer, the branches lean down for me. I pick them regardless. My sisters will sing of their sweetness turned to ache, and how Mama once said fig trees never forget. So I fall to my knees before it. I press my cheek to its trunk. Sap runs down its bark, painting my body amber. It trails the length of my curved spine, warm and aching, like something that once knew me. Featherlight. How scary the wings feel stirring under me, small, frantic, beneath my ribs, like something bright has mistaken me for a place to land. Now, there are mornings where I wake up with sea salt on my lips, grainy, pungent, like the aftertaste of figs thick at the back of my throat. I smell of fruit, of smoke. Sometimes I believe I am ripening. Sometimes, before my family wakes, my feet rearrange themselves like they, too, are reaching out, searching for traces of their homeland. Thank you.
Tamarion, Martin, his clarity of thought and writing is simply remarkable. Another great work to share. What advice do you have for younger writers, maybe kids in middle school who want to be able to write authentically and convincingly but have trouble doing it?
I would say, just put whatever thought you have down on the page. Don't worry about what it'll be, how it'll come out, if people will like it or not. Just keep writing until you literally can't stop. Once you figure out what you want to do with your writing or where you want to go with it, then that's a discussion for another day. But for today, just pick up a pencil, pick up a piece of paper, just start writing whatever you feel, however you feel, whatever you're thinking about. And that's kind of how you start off. And as when you're younger, you shouldn't have to really worry about, like, sentence structure and, you know, different types of devices and stuff like that. Just write how you feel. And never stop. Never stop persisting in your dream. If it's your dream and you're young out there and you're listening and you want to be a writer one day, never stop. No matter who says your writing is good or says it's bad, none of that matters. As long as you keep writing, somebody will eventually find, you'll eventually find your audience, no matter what, or no matter how the world tells you no. And I know it's easy for a lot of people my age to like look at these certain contests and stuff like that, and they see certain pieces that get in and certain pieces that don't. Don't get strung up on that. Just keep writing. Keep amplifying your own voice, your personal voice. How you see the world is important. You know, every poem or every poet or every writer has their own voice based on how they see the world, and I think that's really important to get your own voice out there, because you only... how you see the world is one-to-one. You know, nobody else could have the same experience as you.
Great advice. I have two more questions for you, and then you've got one more work to share. My first question is, and this has a little bit of my own perspective in it. I tend to think people will see a teen, you know, let's say standing on a corner, you know, let's say waiting for a bus, something like that, and they'll immediately make assumptions based on how they're dressed, based on race, based on how they're wearing their hair. There's all sorts of judgments that get made. What would you want the people making those judgments? Do you have any advice or what you would encourage them to do to... I see you nodding, so you know where I'm going.
Yeah, I would say to those people, I would urge you to understand different perspectives. At Lincoln Park, there's a lot of people that come from different economic backgrounds. They come from different families. They're into different things. And you have to understand that everybody has their own story to tell. And I think that's important, that when you see somebody on the street, whether they look like they're, you know, came out of the Gucci store, whether they look like they came from, you know, an alleyway, everybody has their own story to tell, and they're all important, they're all meaningful, and you have to understand that for one day, maybe you should try to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. What would it look like if you lived like that person for a day, or if you were that person for a day? I think it's really important that we understand to not pass judgment as quickly, and to give people grace, the grace to grow, the grace to understand who they are in this world. It's scary out here. You know, it's such a big world, and you're one person. Sometimes you could feel really small, but give people the chance to become who they want to become or has the potential to become. That's what I would say.
I mentioned I had two questions. The other, is there anything else you'd like to say before we hear your third piece for today?
Yeah, so with the National Student Poets Program, I'm going to be doing some workshops in the spring. You could message me at DEMARION1107@gmail.com to ask me any questions about that. Also, if you're interested in AXO or any programs like that, I could get you some information on that as well. But I would say to any young people out there, to any older people out there, try writing for a day. Try putting yourself in the shoes of a poet. See what it's like. They also do some workshops, I heard, here at SLB, so come check those out. There's so many different outlets, but be creative. Have fun with life.
Yeah, there's one going on behind you right now where the theme is World Kindness Day.
Oh, my gosh.
And it'd be nice, maybe we could have you sort of share your philosophies with some of the teens that come see us. It's been a pleasure having you. What's the piece you would like to close up with?
It's called An Elegy to That Little Free Country. I was born in a country that believed it was free. My grandmother called it America. A belief small enough to fit in a lunchbox besides my mother's Newport pack and a plastic Jesus. Red, white, and blue flags lined the yards, and I pledged to them with the soft bones of a child because my mind wished for stars like they were honey-glazed cornbread on Sunday dinner. The same way I wished for black boys to jump double dutch on cracked concrete in the summer, sunburnt and ashy knees. Who knew how fast the sun could bleach a dream into forgetting? Our neighbors saying we're blessed from their porches back then. Wood rottened in the heat. How silly was I to have thought patriotism meant sparklers and Bull Kool-Aid on the 4th. There were fireworks, though, in lawn chairs. My uncles grilling pork chops in clouds of smoke. That's when the good guys always won. Even in the cartoons that only came on in the mornings. It makes me wonder sometimes if I made it all up in my head. The neighbor with a garden hose, ivory soap and motor oil clinging to his body, like how molasses stuck to baked beans. The mailman who wore blue in a shirt that had a white dove flying south, and how he knew how to say my given name correctly. Back then, even the ice cream man played love songs. We chased him barefoot because of that, in that little free country where we didn't lock our doors until the streetlights came on because we didn't have much, yet it felt like everything. Like the scent of pine saw or homemade biscuits or a couch covered in plastic you weren't allowed to sit on, and still it held the shape of everyone who had. And still, I miss it all. That sweet innocence called America. Now, some days I sit with my grandmother's old radio, let the static wrap around me, a feeling I forgot. And I remember that she did believe. And maybe that belief was a kind of freedom, too. Thank you.
Demarion Martin, thank you for sharing your writing with us this morning. And soon you'll be... Let's see, you start a man of Morehouse and you leave a Morehouse man, if my memory is right. Here's to a good journey. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Stick around in a moment. You're going to hear from two more creative teens. And they will, forgive my voice here, we're going to talk about the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards, and you'll get a chance to meet them in just a moment.
Thank you.
Another woman. like you got yourself a man gone. But I don't worry, 'cause I'm sitting on top of the world.
Saturday Light Brigade, thank you for being along with us today. Our Youth Express Hour that you hear at this time every Saturday is a mix of things. It can be challenging, it can be delightful, it can be incredible. The goal is to try to amplify authentic voices of area youth, and we're so pleased to be able to do so. We also have a youth media center here at SLB. In fact, wow, there are a lot of people. The Saturday after Halloween, who would have thunk it? There's a lot of people writing poetry about 100 feet away from me right now, which is terrific to see. If you're a teen or a parent of one, or maybe no teens, our Youth Media Center has activities Monday through Thursday, 3 to 6, and Saturdays between 10 and 2. And you can learn all about these activities by going to ymc.slbradio.org. A quick note, thank you if you have reviewed SLB. As part of the greatnonprofits.org website, every year around this time, we seek reviews to maintain our top-rated nonprofit status. And if you go to that website and search on SLB, it's easy to quickly establish a username, password, and leave a review. Thank you. I think we're down to just 3 or 4 more to go. We appreciate your support.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Well, this next segment is going to be fun because I have convinced our two guests to interview one another to an extent. But before I do that, I'm just going to ask each of them to introduce themselves to you. And I'm going to start with Mariam.
Hi, my name is Mariam Sidalaeva, and I am the director and producer of Young and Queer, a documentary series based in Pittsburgh, PA, and I'm just really glad to be here today.
Hi, my name is Ella Chen. I'm a sophomore at Shadyside Academy High School, and I like to draw comic books.
Now, what you two have in common is you both were honored by the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards program in 2025. And it's, you know, people assume, oh, you're both part of that program, so you must know each other really well. But the fact is, you don't. You both worked independently and submitted something for an award with that program. You both won. And I know from past experiences, when people both place or both have been honored and come in to talk about it, usually they've never met, which gave me the idea of having you interview each other because you've got that in common at least. So I'm going to kind of back up and let, do you know who goes first?
Oh, I don't know. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, what was the piece that got you placed at the competition?
Well, the piece that got me placed at the competition was my documentary series, Young and Queer. The first episode, a pilot episode, it's called Found Family. It was about how queer people have their own communities and found family through their identifiers and what that journey was like. And it specifically talks about, let's guess, young and queer people. So I'm going to ask you the same question then. So what was your piece that made you place?
The piece that had me placed was my comic book, I'm a Star. It combines science with like personal narrative and just themes that are prominent in my life. So
that's beautiful. Well, I have a follow-up question then. What made you make this piece? What made you have that flame of inspiration?
Well, I love comic books. I've been drawing comic books since I was in elementary school, and I wanted something to do during the summer, and there was a lot of stuff going on in the news, so I thought, why not combine that with topics that I had learned about in my middle school years? So that's how the comic came about. And for you?
Well, for me, I've had a journey quite with my identifiers, and I ended up watching this film called I Saw the TV Glow, very good, by A24. Something within it made me think, I don't want to be stuck, and I want to talk about who I really am, even if there are some people who won't support me. So I decided to do something about the political climate that's going on and put out a few stories, even if I can't put out my personal journey out there. So I watched I Saw the TV Glow, and I thought, I'm not going to be stuck. I'm going to try and do something about it.
That's so really cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, okay. So your comic is titled
I'm a Star.
I'm a Star. All right. So I'm going to guess, is there something about a journey of a person trying to become a star?
Yeah, sort of. It follows, like, a star surrounded by a group of people, and she kind of feels like she's an outsider, and there's a lot of external factors that are telling her, like, you need to stay quiet and you shouldn't really be. But in the end, she finds friends and she really finds a community. So
that's beautiful. I love that. What type of illustration techniques did you use? I know there's various for comic books.
Yeah, so I kind of had to develop my own style a little bit. I drew on, like, I really like the Sandman comics, and I like classic Marvel comics, but I work a lot with markers, and I worked on developing this character for a while, and yeah. So what about you? Do you have, like, a specific documentary style that you use?
Well, this was my first documentary series that I have ever made, and it was in part supported by WQD Film Academy, so I had some different approaches, different support systems, and then that program did sadly shut down. But during then, and learning all the basic styles of documentary series, I wanted to personalize it a bit more, so I tried making it not including me at all. I know some documentary series include the producer, and I tried to make it seem as young as possible. I used bright lights, blue, pink, and purple, and I used some graphics. Well, actually, I had someone make graphics, Nash Gregory. He took inspiration from my little board to make them young and really grungy and ripped apart, like notebook pieces of paper. So within that, taking like the basic styles of documentary series, I try to make it look as rough as it can be, because you know, when you're young, you're not perfect. Everything's rough and you're trying to get through it all.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Thank you.
I have a question, which is, you mentioned lighting that makes the documentary seem young. Being a person of radio, I'm curious about that. I heard you mention the colors, but how does that, can you explain how that works, or is it just perception?
I totally can. So in film, there's going to be, of course, different types of lightings and stuff like that, and usually hair light is one of them, and trying to grasp the definition of it in my mind, it's basically just like one of those key lights that you use. And again, I wanted it to look as young and different as possible, so I decided to use some bright colors to try and separate itself from the other documentary styles, which are very serious and very modern, and trying to make it seem like it is an indie piece, but it is also just focusing on young people.
That makes, thank you, that makes a lot more sense to me, and it could be as simple as if you use black and white,
yeah,
you're immediately going to think something is older, even if it's brand new. You also mentioned different types of documentaries, and I also, if I'm involved in creating a radio documentary, like to keep myself out of it. And I think that's your preference as well. This was your first documentary?
Indeed, yes.
Okay, so do you think you'll continue using that style?
I think I definitely will. I feel like so many people right now in our world don't have a voice or don't have a space to talk about what they really want to share with the world. And I think that not including myself would be something that I would continue on. Even if I have a story to tell, I feel like me giving my space for other people is me telling my story, kind of in a weird way. And this is a documentary series, and I'm trying to keep going with episodes of the same structure, and I feel like I'm going to try and keep myself out of it, but make sure I remember my core values within this series.
That's a strong way to go about it. And we have linked to the Carnegie Library page where both of your works are showcased, but in particular, folks can watch your documentary at tinyurl.com/youngandqueerfilm. And I want to turn back to Ella. Your piece sounds amazing, and it mentions in the description here that you grew up in the Midwest. Do you mean here in this area or another area?
Oh, I actually grew up in California, and then I moved to the Midwest, so.
Okay, so I can understand that. It had to be a big change, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was definitely a culture shock, like the weather and also just like the people.
How so with people? Just different proportions of people or different attitudes towards people?
Yeah, so growing up in California, I was definitely surrounded by a lot more diversity, and I was really worried when I was moving to the Midwest that I was going to kind of lose my community because, I don't know, just things I'd read or things I'd watched, but when I came here, everyone was super welcoming.
So both of your pieces have that in common. They both, although one film, one a comic book, and with different focal points, they really all share this idea of a quest for community and wanting to either hold on to it or establish it. Is that a fair?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you have other questions of each other?
I do have one question for you. What makes your comic books stick out from the other maybe comic books you've read?
Well, of course, for me, it's kind of like my own personal narrative, mm-hmm. but I think I really push my style out. Usually I ink with pen, but this time I just used markers, and I had everything kind of smudgy, and mm-hmm. I kind of pushed the panel shapes a little differently. So, yeah.
That's nice. Thank you.
What are your hopes for the future? Do you think you want to continue filmmaking, or...
Ooh, the hopes for the future. Oh, that's an interesting question I get asked a lot. I hope to continue filmmaking. Currently, I am at Pitt, hoping to double major with neuroscience, pre-med, and film. But I definitely think within my future, I see film as a constant recurring theme, especially because I just have a lot of passion with it. And making media and just dispersing it out there is just something so wonderful because so many people can just find out who you are and the deepest parts of you without even getting to know you, and it can resonate with them like so well. So I would really want to keep going with that.
Well said.
Thank you.
What about your hopes, Ella?
I'm not sure yet. I guess I'll know in the future. I definitely want to keep making comic books and maybe one day get my own comic book series published. So,
Ella is 15. You've got a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Mariam is 18, right?
Yes.
And one question for you is, any advice for people as they start college and make that transition? You're in the midst of it.
Oh, boy, do I have advice. Oh, I think my number one advice, I think for that, and even for anyone, is to not be scared to be alone. I feel like so many times with the media that we consume, the amount of people in our world, people think I have to be with other people to not be lonely. But at the end of the day, you have yourself. If you're by yourself, you're not lonely because you have the love for yourself. You can do something with yourself. You can just sit at peace with your soul. And I think after figuring out how to be alone with myself and loving that, things have become so much easier. And I just want to tell everyone, don't be scared to be alone. Don't be scared to be alone with your thoughts. That's when you find the best places of yourself that you're going to love.
What great advice.
Thank you.
And Ella, you are in 10th grade now. And I'm kind of going to ask you the same question for middle school students that might be starting high school this year, that might be in ninth grade and changing schools. It's been a while since you've had to do it, but do you have any advice?
Kind of similar to the earlier advice. Just be yourself and don't be afraid of what other people think at you. Like, put yourself out there. They might laugh at you a little bit at first, but once you're doing well, everyone will be like, wow, I wish I did that.
Great answers. Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Anything else either of you would like to say?
No, but I'm glad to meet Ella, and beautiful advice. I'm also going to support that. That's very solid. It was really nice just being out here and talking with Ella and you.
Oh, yeah, it was nice to meet you guys too.
Thank you, and we should give a shout out to your dad, Stephen, is here, sir. Is it Stephen or Stephen?
Stephen, yeah.
Stephen, there he is. He just waved at me. That's Ella's dad. Mm-hmm. Thank you both for being here today. I got to give a shout out to Nadira as well, Mariam's mom. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLVRadio.org/radio, where you will find links to how you can listen on our own player. In fact, it's right there. And you'll also find links to TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, and our Listen by Phone service at 631-359-8728. A reminder. Clocks go back 1 hour tonight as we head into, officially, we head into standard time once again. Spring forward and for now, fall back. Mark Dignam and Bill Toms are going to join us in a few moments.
You may try to have a perfect life.